In a presentation that I made last week in Phoenix, Arizona, I declared without equivocation my opinion that religious liberty in the United States is under an unprecedented assault. As those words rolled out of my mouth with conviction, I realized that I have made similar statements in every year, in every decade of my adult life, but never intentionally have I spoken those words as hyperbole. Each time I made that declaration, it was my honest opinion. Further reflection on that moment of personal insight regarding the always under attack promise of religious freedom in the First Amendment to the Constitution got me back in touch with history and filled me with a desire to share a brief history lesson with you on this week's show. Religious freedom never has been secure in this nation. Though our first freedom, a fundamental component in the architecture of our democracy, religious freedom has always been under attack. That was the case even when it became the lead freedom in our Bill of Rights. Religious authorities tend always to want such freedom for themselves, but not so much for others. Even as the early patriots of the nation were drafting the Declaration of Independence, which we will celebrate next Wednesday, majority religions in the colonies were denying minority religious groups the freedom of religious expression for which they had traveled to this continent to experience. So, what's different now? Why my warning of a more tenuous status for this first freedom than in the past? Let me begin with some general observations and then quickly move to some specific threats. First, we went through a period when freedom became a dirty word, associated not so much with independence as with abuse of independence. Many made freedom a contradiction to responsibility, a heretical relationship at best. Freedom and responsibility are linked as intimately as are our minds and emotions. Revisionist historians, uncomfortable with the religion-appreciative but basically secular founders of our nation, began to write a new narrative about religious freedom, rewriting history to justify their own perspectives and elevate the concept of a Christian nation as a substitute for the stated goal of those who wrote our Constitution. But history's history, and lies are lies. And then came money, federal money, as a potential answer to diminishing dollars available for the support of religious ministries. Questions about why the federal government should not provide financial support for public education incited a controversy that rages to this very day. Strategies to bypass the First Amendment so that the government could indeed establish a religion in our nation proliferated. Direct government funding, vouchers, eventually a new definition of religious freedom. A paraphrase of the religious liberty clauses in the Constitution that changes the meaning of the Constitution and allows one person or one organization's free exercise of religion to compromise or eradicate another person's free exercise of religion. Before evangelical Christians and other conservative denominations became larger and richer, these groups fought government-subsidized private education. Indeed, religious liberty was at the center of a major divide between Protestants and Catholics. When evangelical groups began sponsoring schools of their own and social ministry institutions of their own, suddenly their voices merged with Catholic voices saying to the government, "Give us some money." Partisan politicians, opportunistically looking for any upper hand in elections, began to speak of the prohibition against government-funded religious activities as discrimination. Disdaining the history of religious liberty, they opened a door through which George W. Bush sprinted to announce a new policy of faith-based initiatives. In other words, government-funded religious institutions. In this new situation, The understanding was that as long as a religious institution didn't accept government money, that institution could claim an exemption for discriminatory hiring practices and for indoctrination, along with education, of course, in schools. Now, that final barrier, protecting independence and religious freedom, is under heavy assault. Today, what I see as the greatest threat to religious liberty in our history is a will to ignore the wisdom enshrined in the Constitution by altering the historic definition of religious freedom to an extent that religious freedom can be cited as a reason for government-funded religious institutions, government endorsement of sectarian moral values, government establishment of theology-based social policies, and an eradication of religious freedom in the name of religious freedom. Now, whoever would have thought that the issue that would highlight the religious liberty crisis in our nation would be contraception? But so it is. I have no business, nor does Interfaith Alliance or the United States government have any business meddling in the eternal affairs of any religion in this nation. Well, why would anyone even want such a prerogative? However, when the actions of religious leaders in any religious tradition seek government assistance in enforcing its values and imposing those values on the nation, that's no longer an internal issue within that religion. It is also a threat to the integrity of the Constitution that belongs to all of us. Some Catholic bishops, true to their hierarchical tradition, are now joined by scores of conservative religious leaders in an effort to challenge both the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause of the Constitution. Now, my friends, by any definition, that is not a matter of internal politics within a specific religious tradition. That's a threat to religious freedom for all of us. And we best see it for what it is and work to prohibit the alteration of our history and Constitution. You know, I've spent most of my life working for cooperation across boundaries that have isolated religious traditions. Respect for each other's differences and mutual cooperation are my goals. And that work requires religious freedom as much as does a healthy democracy. To be silent in the face of a movement aimed at redefining the role of religion in this nation cannot be defended. Wake up! Wake up, Americans! The government has no responsibility to endorse the sectarian values of any religion, even one claiming that it's being denied religious freedom, when that religion is seeking to use the government to impose a sectarian-based morality that violates the religious freedom of others. How hypocritical it would be to celebrate our independence from England and our national constitution's guarantee of freedom on July the 4th, while ignoring those in our midst who would, in the name of religion and freedom, subject to the definition of freedom advocated only by a few. We dare not subject ourselves to the rule of any religion. Our government and its democracy must extend equal rights to all. But in our government, no person and no religion has the right to use their freedom as a means of destroying their freedom for others. Well, there you have it. A little history. I'm looking forward to the 4th of July. I hope all of us are resolved to let freedom ring, liberty, and justice for everybody.